weeknight dinner success is not about the recipes, because mm-hmm. if it were about the recipes, everyone has millions of recipes in the palm of their hand on their phone. But what happens is you type in chicken breast recipes and you scroll, and the first one has mushrooms and you're like, my kid's not going to eat mushrooms. And the second one had to be marinated 24 hours ago. And you're like, it's too late for that. And after you scroll for about 30 minutes, you go and you make one of your old backups anyway. Recipes do not solve your weeknight dinner problems.
This episode is brought to you by the Blissful Parenting Toolbox. If you're looking for better ways to communicate with your child, deal with challenging behavior, or just improve your parenting skills, our free Parenting Toolbox contains the best resources from our expert workshops, as well as contributions from our podcast guests. These tools could be the missing link that you've been looking for to solve everyday parenting challenges and to access highly effective ways to communicate with your child without triggering conflict, arguments, or meltdowns. The best part is that these resources, tools, and templates are completely free and are a gift to you for being a valued member of our community and subscriber to our show. To get free instant access to the Blissful Parenting Toolbox today by visiting www.blissfulparenting.com/toolbox. That address again, www.blissfulparenting.com/toolbox. Register today and we'll see you on the inside. Hello, hello, Blissful Parents. Michelle Abraham, your host here today. And let me tell you, have I got a treat for you today? I've got Marie Feebach with me today. And Marie, how are you doing?
Oh, Michelle, I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Awesome. Well, you know what? It's great. We have a fellow podcast host on the call with us today. So Marie is the host of the amazing podcast, Feed Your Family Tonight. And I've been enjoying listening to her podcast because I and myself am a terrible meal planner. So I am so excited to have you here with us today, Marie. Let me tell our audience a little bit more about you. And I am excited to dive into more about meal planning and preparing meals quickly and how we can do that in a great and healthy way. So do you ever get overwhelmed with figuring out what to have for dinner every single day? Yeah, it's not my favorite question, I can tell you that much. Well, Marie says I'm not alone. So thank goodness. Marie is married mother with 4 active kids between the ages of 14 and 19. And she founded Feed Your Family Tonight to help busy families eat dinner together at home and recapture a little of the calm in the crazy. She's a business owner, podcaster, and has a regular cooking summit on the local ABC affiliate channel. Marie knows how hard it is to get dinner on the table, whether you're working until 6, running kids to after school activities, or chasing toddlers all day. She's dealt with picky eaters, food allergies, busy schedules, but manages to feed her family an at-home cooked meal almost every night. She wants to help you do the same. I love it. And so Marie, before we even jump off here, I just want to say, if you guys are interested in this topic, you want to learn more, you can get to Marie's podcast and all sorts of great things on her website at feedyourfamilytonight.com. So Marie, wow, I'm super excited. I want to know actually first, how did this become something of yours that you like ran with?
In 2017, I was working a contract job and my contract was ending. And I had known for many years that there was a business inside of me. So I took an entrepreneurship class. And the leader of that entrepreneurship class said, go with what people are asking you about. And at the time, my twin girls, my 14-year-old twin girls, were in, third, fourth grade at the time, and they were playing competitive soccer. And I was sitting on the sidelines of practice and games at 5 o'clock at night, 3-4 days a week. And all the other moms were saying, we're going to hit the drive-thru, go home, eat dinner, get the homework done, get the kids in the bath and get them to bed. And I was doing all of that except for hitting the drive-thru. And they started asking me, they're like, Marie, how do you not hit the drive-thru every night? And so that began the idea of Feed Your Family Tonight, where I started reverse engineering the things I was doing naturally so that I could teach it to my friends and then eventually have started sharing it with the world.
Awesome. Yes. As a busy mom myself, I can totally relate. What's for dinner is my least favorite question of the week. And it usually comes right after breakfast. And I'm like, oh God, I can't think about that right now.
So, I hate that question too. Let me tell you. And I'll tell you about how I don't get my kids to ask me that question a little later.
Oh, that's good. Yes. I love that open loop. Open loop, guys. Gotta stick around to hear the answer to that question. Oh, that's amazing. So tell us your secrets. How do you do it? And what are some things that you kind of like found that you were doing naturally that others weren't?
Okay. The first thing is that I really believe that you need to meal plan, but using a plan that someone else writes for you, a lot of people try and find free meal plans or they get meal plan ideas from others. And it only works for so long until you hit a day where the recipe they'd planned that day is way harder than the time that you have, or you've got a kid with some allergies or some picky eaters, and then you're rearranging everything that someone else has already done. So I really believe in making a meal plan that works for you in your home with your schedule. And so I have a 3-step process for weeknight dinner success. And it starts with looking at your schedule. I call it my PSA. I'm a child of the 80s. I don't know if you guys remember those cheesy commercials, those public service announcements that taught a moral. Oh, yeah. So this is my PSA for weeknight family dinners. And it starts with the P, which is plan and prep. When you plan, you start by looking at your schedule, because you're going to have days where you have soccer from 3:45 to 4:45, piano from 5 until 6, and then you've got to be back up at school at a PTO meeting at 7, and your life is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and you cannot have a meal that takes a lot of time. So you start with your schedule, or if you're working mom, maybe you're looking at, you've got meetings all day, and you know at the end of the day, you're going to be toast. Or if you've got toddlers, maybe you had kids that had a doctor's appointment that day and you know they're going to be whiny and cranky. You know how kids are after they've gone to the doctor. They're clingy in their heart. So whatever your schedule is, you start with that, and then you're going to set a dinner bell, which is my S, which is the target time you're going to eat. You're going to write that on your sheet. I have a free weekly meal planning sheet at feedyourfamilytonight.com/plan that you can print off. It has all of this on it. You start with your schedule and you set your dinner bell. Then you plan your meals so that you plan meals that are really quick and easy on the days where you're running and puffing. Or sometimes I plan meals that are a little bit harder, but everything is done earlier in the day and I can just throw it in the oven while I'm running my kids to all their activities. You plan meals around your schedule. So when you looked at your schedule, you've set your dinner bell and you're planning what you're having for dinner. So on days where I'm running like that, I might do roast chicken that I've prepped the night before and all I have to do is throw it in the oven. Or I might have a quick like 15-minute meal, like my salmon patties or my lemon ramen chicken stir fry, something that start to finish 15 minutes. On other days when I know I've got a little bit more time, maybe that's the day that I'm making tater tot casserole that takes 2 steps of cooking it on the stove and then putting it in the oven. So you plan your meals around the kind of time that you have, and then you go to prep. And prep is so important. Prep is, what can I do today to be successful later in the week? And oftentimes that's as simple as taking meat out of the freezer and putting it in the refrigerator so it can thaw for the next day. Or if you're making beans, it's soaking the beans so that it only takes a little bit of time to cook them the next day. Prep is little tiny things. It might be cutting up vegetables. So you get your plan, then you set your prep. And this is really important. On your sheet, you write prep on the day you need to do it, not the day of the meal. And start finding a time that you do your prep. For me, it's usually when I'm cleaning up my dinner dishes because my kitchen's already a mess, my cutting board's out. I can usually do 2 or 3 minutes of something to be successful tomorrow. Some people, it's when they're cleaning up their breakfast dishes and you're just taking 2 minutes to just get something ready either for later that night or for the next day. But start finding a rhythm. And I mean, I'm talking 2 to 3 minutes. This does not need to be a big prep thing, but I'm telling you, 2 to 3 minutes can save you 15 to 30 minutes the next day. You think about having your meat already thawed, you're saving 15 minutes minimum. Okay, so plan and prep, set a dinner bell, and then the A is where the magic is, Michelle. Mm-hmm. And that is always have a backup, because everybody has days where the wheels fall off. You know, your kid breaks a bracket and you got to run to the orthodontist and get it fixed. Or you have a day where you thought you were going to be doing one thing and then meeting after meeting and change after change. Or a day where you thought you were going to have energy to cook something and then you get home and you are just toast. A backup is any meal that you can get on the table in 20 minutes or less with ingredients you keep in your house all the time. Because by the time you need a backup, it's too late to go to the grocery store.
Right.
One of my favorite backups is bean and cheese quesadillas. I keep a can of refried beans. I keep tortillas in my freezer. I keep a bag of shredded cheese, freezes really well. Mm. Keep a bag of shredded cheese in my freezer. I can put that together with a bag of frozen veggies or cut up some fruit, make bean and cheese quesadillas. It takes me 20 minutes. Super fast, super easy. If you're going to the drive-thru, it's probably going to take you at least 20 minutes to get there, get through the drive-thru and get back. And in most towns, it's going to take longer than that. So this backup meal helps you when the wheels fall off. So I don't know, Michelle, what do you think?
I love it. I think that's such a great idea. The backup meal, such a good plan. I mean, we live somewhere where there is no drive-thru within like a 45 minute to an hour drive. So it's not even a possibility. So yeah. I love this idea. Something quick and easy that can go on the table when you need it the most. And I love your tip for the few minutes the day before. And it's funny because the prep I always think has to happen like on the weekend for the whole week ahead of time. And that makes me feel a little bit overwhelmed and a little bit like, I can't do it.
100%. I am not a like prep all tons on the weekend. It doesn't work. If that works for you, you do you. I love that you found something that works because I don't really care how you get dinner on the table. I want you to find what works for you. In my life, I don't want to spend my weekend cooking. I am a food professional and spending my weekend cooking. If you look at my meal plans, I post them every Monday on Instagram. And my weekend meal plans are almost always things that are really fast, really easy, things from my freezer, because I don't want to spend my weekend cooking. And you know how I said how I don't get my kids to ask me what's for dinner? They know that if they want to know what's for dinner, they go and look at my Instagram because I post it on Instagram. Yeah. And again, you can take that weekly meal planning sheet and you can put it on your refrigerator and they say, what's for dinner? You can say, go read the meal planning sheet. Mm. Or you can post it on Instagram just like I do. And I just say, go look at my Instagram because I don't want my kid asking me what's for dinner all the time because then they're going to whine and complain.
Right. Now, I'd love to know your strategies for planning the meals. Do you do them like, do you have like the same like 20 meals that you rotate through the weeks or do you have like each week you plan the next week in advance or how do you do it?
Okay. I definitely plan only 1 week at a time. I feel like when you take plan more than 1 week, there are so many little factors that change what your schedule is like that the meal plans fall apart, at least in my home. I plan on Mondays. I've gotten in that habit years and years ago. It works for my family to plan on Mondays. But you can pick any day of the week. You can plan on Saturday, Sunday, whatever. You can just plan the whole week. But as far as a rotation, what I have is my Feed Your Family Tonight meal planning system has this full recipe index where you write down according to proteins, if you eat animal proteins, or according to cuisines, if you're vegetarian or vegan. I found a lot of vegetarians or vegans categorize foods like by Mediterranean, Mexican, rather than by beef, chicken, right. Pork. Yeah, so I have both with the meal planning system, whatever your family has. And it's kind of a working document of all of the meals that your family will eat. And I say, you have kind of a working index and then you kind of have your permanent index. You don't want to put something on your permanent index until you've fed it to your family 3 times with success. Because what happens is the first time they'll say, oh, this is great. The second time they're kind of like, and the third time they're like, we don't really like this. So if you can serve it 3 times with relative success, now I'm feeding a family of 6. And that means relative success means 4 of them will eat it without complaint. The other 2 will either eat it with complaint or will go and get a sandwich. So, I mean, you have to define what success is in your home and be realistic about it. With relative success, then it goes on that master list. Mm-hmm. And that master list, when you're like, I don't know what to make, then you go back to your list and like, oh my gosh, I have not made sheet pan sausage and peppers in a long, long time. And so, you know, the master list is there for when you need it. And the great thing about this master list is it's not something that you print off every recipe and put in your binder. I mean, you can, but that's a lot of trees. The list has an index for like, where is that recipe? So it's on Feed Your Family Tonight website, or it's on Pioneer Woman's Cookbook, or it's in Grandma's Cookbook. And you just write where you can go to find that recipe when you need it. So that you don't have to have every, because otherwise it feels like too much and you're like, oh, I can't do it perfectly. So I'm not going to do it at all. I'm like, no. Yeah. We just need to get something. We need to get something working and you can add to it as you go. I am really about let's be realistic and let's be kind to ourselves and not expect perfection.
Yeah, I love that because, you know, when you're hungry and you can't think of what you're going to have for dinner, your brain is not the best Rolodex at that time to remember all the things you used to cook.
No. And here's the other thing is weeknight dinner success is not about the recipes, because if it were about the recipes, everyone has millions of recipes in the palm of their hand on their phone. But what happens is you type in chicken breast recipes and you scroll, and the first one has mushrooms and you're like, my kid's not going to eat mushrooms. And the second one had to be marinated 24 hours ago. And you're like, it's too late for that. And after you scroll for about 30 minutes, you go and you make one of your old backups anyway. Recipes do not solve your weeknight dinner problems, but time management does. And that's why I start meal planning with your schedule, because you can't plan meals that take a lot of time and effort on days where you don't have the energy or the time to put in the effort.
Right. That makes so much sense. So now you say you meal plan on Mondays. So after you meal plan, do you then go grocery shopping, or how do you just know, kind of already have planned with what you already have in the fridge?
No, I usually meal plan and then grocery shop. And I've got to tell you, I started a full-time job just a few weeks ago. And honestly, a lot of times I've been moving that meal plan to Sundays and then go grocery shopping afterwards. When I was working from home, I would meal plan on Mondays and then do my grocery shopping on Mondays. But I'm finding now that I'm working outside of the home, in addition to my business, I have to do it more on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So I usually do grocery shop. But here's the other thing. Do you know how much money you save grocery shopping when you have a meal plan?
Mm-hmm. I bet. I'm terrible you can at grocery shop. Bills. Yeah.
You can shop for your whole week because you have it planned out. And a lot of times I'll have to do a little extra produce run later at the end of the week, but it's like a 5-minute grocery shopping trip, not like a 25-minute one. And so you know what you're going to have. You know the ingredients that you need. And so I keep a pretty well-stocked pantry, but there is so much less to buy. You can get in and out of the grocery store. And before I started meal planning, and trust me, this is I have teaching myself what I have taught, what I'm teaching others is, you know, I would go to the store and I was like, okay, I'd buy some hamburger and I'd buy some chicken, and then I'd figure out what I would make with it later. Mm-hmm. But then inevitably I'd be like, oh gosh, I need to go get soy sauce, or oh gosh, I need to go get some ramen noodles, or oh gosh, I don't have broccoli. And I would make extra trips to the grocery store. I would buy way more impulse items. I had way more food waste because I was buying all the things that I might need, and then a lot of it would go to waste. And so when you meal plan, you are saving yourself time, you are saving yourself money, and you are saving yourself the drive-through. So I always give the comparison. When people are doing New Year's resolutions, they usually have to do with organization, they have to do with health, or they have to do with budgets. If you meal plan, you are hitting all of those three main things that people are trying to improve. Perfect. The simple act of meal planning just makes life so much better.
I love it. Yeah. I think that makes so much sense, the way you're explaining it. And why are we not doing it? You know?
It 10 minutes at the beginning of the week can save you. And really, when you get in the habit and you have that recipe index and stuff, you can plan your meals in 10 minutes a week.
I love it. Now, do you also, you said you have a Rolodex of amazing recipes somewhere on your website too. So share with us a bit about your website. What are some of the resources over there? How can we find out more?
Sure. FeedYourFamilyTonight.com is my website. I have the Feed Your Family Tonight podcast is up there. And then I have all of my recipes. If you go, there's a really good search thing. So you can type ground beef. You can type chicken, you can type in bacon, you can type in ingredients, and then you can see all the recipes that kind of go with those ingredients. That's the easiest way to find some of my favorite easy recipes. And almost all of my recipes are fast, easy, simple, Midwestern cooking kind of recipes. There's not a lot of fancy ingredients. I kind of have a philosophy for most of my recipes. If you can't get the ingredients at Aldi, then it doesn't need to be a recipe on my website. There's a few recipes that have a couple of things that you couldn't get at an Aldi, but almost everything is just basic, simple food for weeknight dinners. Because, you know, the Food Network has so many like fancy recipes and chefs competing against each other. But if you want a recipe for a Tuesday night for your family, it's kind of hard to find those. And that's what my website is all about.
Awesome. I love it. It sounds like the perfect place to go and check out when you're meal planning. Right? Now, any other quick and easy dinner tips for our families before we let you go?
Well, you know, the big thing is that you have to do what works for you. Mm-hmm. And one of my little tips for picky eaters is don't change too much at once. So if you're wanting to try a new recipe, make mm-hmm. sure that recipe is either half familiar flavors. So think about like the flavors of Italian, you've got basil, oregano, or half familiar ingredients, which means you're using pasta, you're using ground beef, you're using chicken. Don't try and go from a meat spaghetti to a chickpea curry because your family will revolt, but you might go from a meat spaghetti to a lentil spaghetti or something. So when you're trying to try new recipes, and when you're flipping through recipe websites, my website, magazines, look for recipes that are 50% familiar. And that's my biggest tip for finding new recipes.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I like that a lot. So now we're navigating the atheist school age drama where like 1 week we like something, the next week we don't like something. And then the next week, someone else that did like it doesn't like it anymore. And now we're back to the other person liking it. So what the heck? As a mom of four yourself, how do you navigate those situations when you're trying to make one meal for the family, but everyone wants six different meals?
Okay, so here's the thing is, I've been there. Oh, I've been there. My biggest tip is always have one thing on the plate that you know that person will eat. And those things might be different for different people, but it all comes from the same dish. So if I'm making lemon ramen chicken stir fry, my kids will all eat the ramen noodles, but it has broccoli in it and has chicken in it. I've got one kid that might go through a phase where they're revolting on chicken. So I'll give them the broccoli and the noodles. Or I've got another kid that is not so fond of broccoli. So I'll give them the noodles and the chicken. Mm-hmm. And so I'll take pieces of whatever is the meal according to what their current preference is and give that. And then my kids are big enough that they can fill in on their own with other things from the refrigerator. If you have little kids, you may offer something else to kind of fill in, but at least, but something really simple, like a scoop of cottage cheese or a little scoop of yogurt, nothing that you're preparing a whole new meal. You're just adding a little scoop of something to supplement whatever else is on the plate. But the big thing is, if you have picky kids, just try and find one thing that you can put on their plate that they will eat. And you can pull out different parts of the meal as you cook it so that everybody gets something that they can eat, but you're only making one dinner. You know, it's just too much.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I've got one that's revolting on everything except for pasta. I'm like, really? Come on. And we seem to supplement to like every meal with like a raw veggie plate. So like, at least there's some raw veggies there that can go with whatever noodles you want.
Well, you want my hot tip on raw veggie plates, yes. Michelle? I tell families over and over again, go and get one of those pre-made veggie trays. Like you can get them at the big box store, at the grocery store, like something you would take to a party, and just pull that out every night. You don't have to wash. You don't have to cut. The dip's right there. It counts as part of the meal. I do that a lot for that witching hour. You know, when your kids are hungry and cranky and you're still fixing dinner and they're like shoving anything in their face. If you get that veggie plate out on the tray, in your mind, that's their vegetable for dinner. But in their mind, they're getting a snack.
Right.
And that pre-made veggie tray, if you are down on time, man, just buy one of those and pull it out every night. It can save you so much time and get more veggies in your kids.
Great idea. Yeah, I love it. The veggie hour.
Veggie hour, man. Instead of the witching hour. I mean, you know, yeah.
Exactly. That's awesome. So, gosh, so many great things here. And I'm so excited that you've just given me some new inspiration and new hope to lower my grocery bill.
Yes.
Because I feel like that, like just running and grabbing things like each night or a couple times a week adds up a lot. And it's like you said, there's a lot of food waste. So I think that's a really great way. Now, how do we make sure like balance like the pantry being stocked and then just supplementing like the fresh food each week? Is that kind of how you manage that?
You know, that's what I do. In my home, I do a deep dive grocery shopping trip once a quarter. And I have a whole podcast on that where I talk about where I go and I hit like three or four stores and I am stocking up on all of my dry goods, like toilet paper, deodorant, toothpaste, and all of my canned goods, like tomatoes, pasta, and those kind of change with the season. So my once a quarter, I have kind of my summer staples. I have my fall staples. Have my spring staples. And so I kind of make sure I take an inventory and like, okay, in the winter, I'm needing more tomatoes because I'm doing more soups and stews. In the summer, I am needing a little bit more like rice and pasta because I'm doing a lot of grilling and I'm just kind of doing some starches in the house. I buy lots of frozen bags of veggies. And so I keep that stocked about every 3 months. And then most of the time when I'm going to the grocery store, I am just buying fresh items. I am buying fruits, vegetables, frozen fruits and frozen vegetables, but I try and keep my pantry pretty well stocked once a quarter. Now my budget allows me to do that. Your budget may only allow you to like do that once a month. You kind of have to go with your family budget, but I have found that if I deep dive grocery shop once a quarter, I can get in and out of the grocery store so much faster because I'm only buying the few fresh items that we need every week. And it kind of keeps my budget under control too.
Yeah, that's great. Great idea. And like deep diving on the things that just sit in the cupboard anyways. Such a good idea. Especially I like the seasonal thing too. I can see like could be more chickpeas and black beans and stuff to go with the salads in the summer. And
yes.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Cool. Yeah, that's such a good idea. I'm all about saving money on my grocery bill right now. It's like insane. Like for a family of four, like the amount of, I mean, we live in a small town too. So the grocery bill, groceries are a bit, a little more expensive, but if I can plan it properly, I can go down a little bit, you know, about 45 minutes further down to go to a store that's bigger once every couple of weeks to get the staple stuff or get the, you know, the things that are more expensive at our little store. So that's great.
Groceries are really, really expensive right now. And I'm telling you, there's a couple of things that you can do to keep your grocery bill down. First of all is use what you have in your house. Mm-hmm. Use that pantry stuff that you bought a few months ago. So start using that. Start looking for ways to find less expensive proteins. Or really, that is where I shop the sales. I don't really care about the sales on most items. When I'm shopping grocery sales, I am looking for proteins that are on sale. Now, we happen to get our beef from a local farmer, but when I'm looking for chicken and other pieces of protein, I am always watching for the sales. And then sometimes I'll buy in bulk and kind of freeze it a little bit too, because that is where the highest expense is in a family budget. So look for sales on your proteins and shop your pantry first. And that can really help keep your budget down.
Awesome. Or go vegetarian. I'm just kidding.
and that can really help.
Even just like that can and that can.
Although I will tell you, I had one friend that tried doing that and she was buying so many specialty ingredients because she was looking at all of these recipes and they required so many specialty ingredients that she saw her budget go up. So if you are using vegetarian as a technique, you want to look for recipes that are using the kind of the base things that you already have in your house. Right. So different families kind of have different base flavors. Some families have a lot of Asian ingredients. Some people have a lot of Italian or Mexican ingredients, and kind of find recipes in those same base ingredients.
Good idea. Yeah.
And that saves you money too, even when you're not going vegetarian, because you're not having to buy all the extra spices and things because you have them in your house as pantry staples.
Cool. I love it. So many great tips. Thank you, Marie. So before we let you go, any last words for our parents who are struggling in this department of life and busy, busy on the go? Any last bit of advice for them?
Okay. The first thing is you are enough. Feeding your family is enough. If it is chicken nuggets out of a bag, if it is cereal for dinner, if it is boxed macaroni and cheese, that is okay. You can move and expand from there, but know that just feeding your family is enough. I don't want anyone to ever feel like they're not doing it right or they're not doing it well. Start with where you are and just slowly make small increments. And seriously, friends, it takes building a habit, but start meal planning according to your schedule and things will get better. Your budget will get better and your energy will be better too.
I love it. And if we want help with our meal planning, and you have the meal plan on your website. So that's feedyourfamilytonight.com/plan, right?
Yes. Feedyourfamilytonight.com/plan will get you to my free weekly meal planning sheet. You can download it. It's really kind of easy to work with and helps you just think about your schedule, set your dinner bell, and plan meals that work with your real life.
Cool. I love it, guys. So Blissful Parents, you heard it from Maria. Go check it out on her website and go listen to her podcast, Feed Your Family Tonight. I'm going to go and listen to the episode right now about the quarterly shop because I think that's really interesting. I think that's a great idea.
Yep. Deep dive grocery shopping.
Deep dive grocery shopping. Awesome. Well, thank you, Maria, for joining us today on Blissful Parenting. Blissful Parents, go out there and have a fabulous week. Try some quick, easy dinner planning if you can. and come back to us. Let us know how it went. We'd love to hear it in the comments. All right. Thanks so much, Maria. Take care.
Take care. Thanks so much. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by the Blissful Parenting Toolbox. If you're looking for better ways to communicate with your child, deal with challenging behavior, or just improve your parenting skills, our free Parenting Toolbox contains the best resources from our expert workshops, as well as contributions from our podcast guests. These tools could be the missing link that you've been looking for to solve everyday parenting challenges and to access highly effective ways to communicate with your child without triggering conflict, arguments, or meltdowns. The best part is that these resources, tools, and templates are completely free and are a gift to you for being a valued member of our community and subscriber to our show. To get free instant access to the Blissful Parenting Toolbox today by visiting www.blissfulparenting.com/toolbox. That address again, www.blissfulparenting.com/toolbox. Register today and we'll see you on the inside.